Good morning, family. Well, I hope you're having a good day today, and if you're not, I'm about to make your day get a whole lot better, because if you're having a bad day, I'm going to show you a guy in the Bible that had several bad days, and maybe if you look at his bad day, then you can say your bad day is not so bad. Somebody said once, I just heard that a while ago, I forgot, it slipped my mind, but yeah, there's lots of people out there. Somebody said there's lots of people out there that would like to have your bad day. In other words, theirs is a lot worse. So open to the book of Job. Let's talk about a bad day, a bad series of days in the life of Job. You should be able to find the book of Job. You crack your Bible down the middle, you probably find Psalms. And so right before the book of Psalms is the book of Job. And we're going to be looking at this life, the life of Job this morning, really covering the entire chapter of the book of Job as we read verses here and there. The story of Job is a drama filled with an avalanche of physical problems, and it is a journey of the spiritual questions that Job had, for which there seemed to be no real answers. You may recall in the book of Job, Job's three so-called friends. And you may recall even to some extent some of their so-called advice. And if you ever wanted to take some passages out of context, if you were trying to convey a certain idea, you might select some of the words from Job's friends and which they really were giving him bad advice that out of context, you might see somebody, or you might be able to see somebody use them in such a way to convey that bad advice. So there, ultimately, when Job is attacked by Satan, and he is stripped of many of his possessions and some of his, most of his family, his three friends ask him lots of questions that really go unanswered. And Job even throws in a few questions of his own along the way. Life may have been pretty simple for Job at the very start of his life. Seems to be cruising along just fine. Everything's going great for Job. And yet when he loses his family, when he loses his possessions, when he loses his great wealth, then the questions begin. And they never seem to end. A steady flow of roughly 40 chapters worth of questions, doubts, problems, struggles that are articulated, questions that are answered about Job's life. You'll see in the picture I have up here, and I chose to, you know, not put some flashy picture up there, but put like a dreary desert picture up there. If you are wondering who the guy sitting on the ground is, that's Job. And if you're wondering who the three guys there, those are his three friends. And in fact, the Bible says at one point, finally, his friends, when they greeted him this way, they, for 7 days, they just sat with him and said not a word. Well, those are kind of interesting friends. You ever had friends like that, that would sit with you for a whole week and just stare at you? I don't know whether they put their arm around him, prayed with him. Well, they didn't pray. They didn't say anything. They didn't say a word, and they just hung out with Job. And then after that, the questions started. Now, Job had three friends, so-called friends, and he also had a wife. Now, some of you may have heard that, you know, though his wife survived all of the calamity that Job went through in the first two chapters, some would say, well, maybe it would have been a good thing if his wife didn't survive either, because watch her. It says in Job chapter 2 and verse 8, then Job took a piece of broken pottery, he scraped himself with it, and he sat among the ashes. It says, his wife said to him, are you still holding to your integrity? And then she says, curse God and die. Oh, it doesn't end. Verse 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, Each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. We skip ahead to, still in Job chapter 2 here, verse 12. It says, when they raised their eyes from afar off and they didn't recognize him, they lifted their voices and they wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they, here it is, they sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now skipping ahead to chapter 3, verse 1. It says, after this, Job opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why is light given to him to whom is in misery and life to the bitter of soul? And then going down over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and he said, is not your reverence your confidence? And the integrity of your ways, your hope. He says, consider this, whoever perished being innocent? Pretty good question, right? He says, or where were the upright ever cut off? So these are some pretty pointed questions. And from this point on, Job's life, his entire life, is a huge question mark. But following all of the questions, we move ahead in the story and to find out that after this, all this babbling is going on by his friends, then the real questions start to come forth. And the real questions come from someone who has the right to ask those questions. The questions come from God. God is asking the significant questions, and he's providing each of us here, as he did with Job, really a proper perspective on life. And so we move ahead to the 38th chapter, our scripture reading just a little bit earlier. And it says in chapter 38, verse 1, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he said, who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And then he says, brace yourself. Now imagine, he's saying this to Job. He says to Job, brace yourself like a man. He says, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Brace yourself. Brace yourself, Job, for a dose of reality. Brace yourself for a proper perspective on life and all of this that you're going through and had gone through. Brace yourself. Get ready to experience something that you need to experience. And then as it goes on in chapter 38, verse 4, God now asks Job this question. He says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely, he says, you know. He's saying this to Job. He says, who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? You know, look on some clear night as you look at the vast universe that we live in. And listen to God asking you questions like this as you look out over all that God created. You might be able to get up there and send a spaceship into outer space and measure these things and picture these things and diagraph these things and all of this stuff, but who is the one that brought it all about? From nothing created all of this. This is the question that God is asking Job. And you know what? As it says there in the text, God says, basically to Job, you don't understand it. You don't even begin to understand. He says, do you really understand all of this? Job didn't know any of it. And God's advice for him, and God's advice for us today, even if we're going through a bad day or bad days like Job, his question or his statement is for us, brace yourself. Brace yourself means get ready to experience what's about to happen. You see, life happens, and we need to be ready to hear God in all of it. Never think your situation is so bad that maybe God has taken a vacation. He's not in this. He's not around this. He's not seeing this. God is going through the storm with you. It was out of the storm, out of the whirlwind, that God begins to talk to Job. Out of all the whirlwind of negative things that were happening to him, God was right there telling Job, you need to get a right perspective on this. So be ready to hear God in all of it, no matter what it is, and see that God is still in control and that we can still trust in God. At one point, you know, Job would actually say, you've probably heard this verse, in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Translation, he's saying when he says, though he slay me, even if it kills me, I am going to trust in God. That's the kind of faith that you need to have, a faith like that. Now, I imagine Job was actually trying to muster up that feeling as well as saying it, trying to get into that mode and say, I am going to, no matter what, trust in God. Well, this morning, what I'd like to do is look at some basic ideas that we need to acknowledge about life so that whatever things happen like they did with Job, that we can do the very same thing, we can brace ourselves. So here's our first point this morning. We're going to, well, I guess I meant to read some of those verses. Well, you know what, let me go back to this verse here and chapter 38, verse 16. Now, these are the questions that God is asking Job. He says, have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Well, if you had enough deep enough submarine and all that, you could go so deep, but not deep enough, right? He says, have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? And there's that statement. God says to Job, tell me, if you know all this. Well, Job didn't know it all. He knew some of it, but not all of it. Now we begin to consider this idea of bracing yourself. What does it mean to brace yourself? Well, first of all, understand this. This is not news to you, I don't think, this morning. And that is that life is complicated. Anybody wanted to disagree with me in here on that? I'll go toe-to-toe with you. Life is complicated. Can I get an amen? Life is definitely complicated. And this is why Job, the book of Job, has so many chapters. Yes, life is complicated. His friends have so many questions. So many issues are brought out. A flood of doubts and confusion arises. Life is complicated. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought this before. Do you know, I've got a lot of issues going on in my life, and I've got a lot of bills to pay, amen? I got a lot of bills to pay, and I got this income here. And you know, I'll tell you what, I know this for sure, but we're saying to ourselves, life would be easier if I just made a little bit more money. Or maybe if I made a lot more money. Life would be easier, right? I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. Definitely not going to happen. And I can prove it as we look at the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, because here's the guy, if you ever think you'd have just a little bit more money, Solomon had it all. The wisest and wealthiest man that ever lived. If you thought wealth was the answer, then your life wouldn't be complicated. You need to read the book of Ecclesiastes. Because Solomon said, no, it's not going to work that way. Even if you could have a lot of money, all the money that you want, life is still going to be complicated. So this is what Solomon said in his journal in chapter 8, verse 16. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, he said, when I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, he says, then I saw all that God has done, He said, no one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. And despite all his efforts to search it out, Solomon says, a man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. So brains and bucks, Solomon had it. And he says, that's not the answer. I still can't figure it out. I still don't have the answers. I still can't tell you why the negative things that you're going through, why it's going to be that way. Solomon says, I haven't figured it out. You know, I'm going to tell you when my life was easier. At least, this is from a human perspective, from what I experienced in my life. Do you know, life was easier for me when I had less. I remember when our first few years of marriage, we grew up in Lake Isabella, California, starting our family, raising our family, and we had nothing. We had a little 14 by 40 mobile home that we were making payments on, and we didn't have, we had a junker car, we used to go on walks together, bike rides, we'd go down to the swap meet, you know, and we'd go to the Goodwill and buy stuff there, and we just, I mean, life back then, I had less money, but guess what? I had a whole lot less bills, too. And the more money you get, the more stuff you buy, the more bills you get, the more complicated your life is. And Solomon even said that in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Read it sometime, verses 10 and 12. He basically said in Ecclesiastes 5, 10 and 12, he said, more money, more worries. Less money, less worries. Believe it. That came from the wealthiest man. He said it. He knows what he's talking about. In fact, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why he wrote it. So life is complicated. And, you know, all you need to do right now is just get on the internet. Go surfing. You can find out how complicated life is. Read your phone bill sometime. You want to find out how complicated life is? Read your phone bill. You try to explain that phone to me. This charge and that charge. I mean, there's a lot of complications to life. But I've got some good news for you here this morning. And that is this. The good news is that the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Amen? I mean, you might have confusing situations in your life, but I can tell you when you can say, this is very confusing, whatever that thing is that's confusing to you, I'm going to tell you something. God's not the author of it. Because God's not the author of confusion. Things are simple when you turn to Him. When you look to God and when you look to His plan and the way He has designed things, He is not the author of confusion. He has only one body, one spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Does that sound simple for you? Not complicated like religion. Man has made religion today. God says, I've made religion, my relationship with you, I've made it very simple. There's only one way to get to God. Guess what? It's through Jesus Christ. If it was confusing, there'd be lots of ways to get to God. Don't let other religions tell you there are different roads. We're all going on the same path eventually to get to God. No, there's only one path, Jesus Christ. And that's how simple it is. God made it very simple, not complicated. And so brace yourself. Because there's going to be a lot of confusion in the world, but anytime you see that, God is not the author of it. Prepare yourself, like Job, to listen to God, because you know what God says? If you want to listen to me, just open this book right here. Just open the Bible. Faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. That's how simple it is. You're in a good place this morning because you're in a place where God can clear up some of the confusion in your life today. By you just reading the Word of God, faith comes by hearing that one faith, right? One faith, one Lord, one baptism. That faith, that simple faith, that God who's the author of that, that's not confusing, that's what you've come to experience in this place. You're in a safe place here. You're in a place where there is no confusion. God has spoken to us from His Word. Listen to the Word of God. Look only to Jesus. Don't look anywhere else other than the Bible. Don't look anywhere else other than Jesus. Don't look anywhere else other than His church. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's how simple it is. Only Jesus. Life may be complicated, but salvation is not complicated. The gospel is very simple. Listen, Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. End of story. That's the gospel. Not complicated, it's very simple. Brace yourself, because complicated issues are out there, but in the midst of all of everything that you experience in this life, God is not the author of confusion, and you can trust in him, and that's the decision that Job made himself. Let's go to our second point here. So, life is complicated, and as we look at the book of Job, we also find that lies are countless. Now, Job's wife, right here in Job chapter 9, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Job's wife lied about God. And she lied about life. She said to him, "Do you still hold to your integrity, Job?" She says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But Job said to her, in verse 10, he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." Did you catch that, ladies, how carefully the husband said those words? He didn't say, "You're foolish." Could have said that, right? He says, "You speak as the foolish women." He says, "You speak like they speak." He says, "Shall we indeed accept good from God?" We like that part, right? "Shall we accept good from God? And shall we not also accept adversity?" Now, the old King James doesn't use the word adversity there. It uses the word evil. Imagine that. Evil from God. Can we accept good from God and evil from God, or adversity? And it goes on to say, at the end of verse 10 there, that in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So she told Job that God is not worthy of your worship. He is not it's not worth living for him, Job. You ought to just curse God and die. She told him that God is not worthy of his honor, his worship, any of that. And Job told her that he was going to trust God no matter what. Do you know, by the way, thinking about Job's wife here, do you know, and this, you've seen it before in your own life, do you know that even those who are closest to you will lie to you? It happens. And that's probably when it hurts the most, right? We expect maybe people out in the world to occasionally slip us a mistruth, something that's false, but this was his own wife, and she lied to him about God. You know, Satan is telling the same lies today. He's telling us in our religiously confused world today that the Bible is not inspired by God. Oh, it might be a real good book. It has some really nice sayings and teachings in it, sayings of Jesus. But none of these, you know, it's not really inspired by God. The world will tell you that. They'll tell you that Jesus really wasn't real, or if he was an historical character, he really didn't raise from the dead. The world will tell you it's okay to believe, in fact, in Jesus, or even believe in the Bible, but believe what you want to believe. Believe your version of God. And they'll tell you that it's okay to be religious, and it's okay to go to worship and go to church, but you just choose the church of your choice. And now the devil tells you all kinds of lies. The Apostle Paul wrote about such in this letter to Timothy. He's a minister at the churches in Ephesus, and Paul writes to him and warns him, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says to this young minister, he says, "The Spirit expressly says," in other words, clearly says, "that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." What will they do when they depart from the faith? Listen to what he says. "They're giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in," there's our word lies, "in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." And then he goes, gives you two examples. Number one, forbidding to marry. And number two, he says, commanding to abstain from foods. So there's two lies that the devil tells in the religious world. There are religions today that are built around the doctrine of having certain folks in their religious affiliation that they say cannot marry. If that's a doctrine in your church today, the church that you belong to, you're believing the devil's lies. There's never any position, anything in the church that God says, here's a particular group of people that cannot get married. He says that is straight from the pit of hell. That is a lie of the devil. If there are certain religions today that are telling you that you cannot eat certain foods, that they're off limits, they're, you know, God says you can't have those, that again is a lie from the devil. We think of those things as just nice little innocent things that might not be completely true, but they're not that bad. He says, no, that's a doctrine from the devil. And so the lies out there are countless. And when you think about, let's see if I put this verse up there. Listen to this. We just read about the doctrines, plural, doctrines of demons. And then the Apostle John says in 2 John 9, he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide within the doctrine, did you notice the word doctrine there is singular? The doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides within the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So there's a contrast, doctrines, plural, of demons, the devil, and the doctrine, singular, of Christ. You see, the devil has a plurality of false teachings. Jesus gave us one solid doctrine, the doctrine that you read about in the Bible. It is singular. And so when you find the doctrine of Christ, and you camp on that, and you abide within that, that excludes anything else that's teaching. If you are following a doctrine that you cannot find in the Bible, it is a doctrine of the devil. Singular. Part of his bag of tricks. Part of his doctrines and false teachings that are apart from the Word of God. The lies that he tells. And I'm just saying all this to illustrate the fact that the lies out there are countless. If you follow the Bible, you're going to simplify your life. Remember we said life is complicated? The Bible is simple. We make it complicated. When we read God's truths and we follow God's truths, we don't have to worry about all the other doctrines that are out there that are from the devil. So lies are countless. Now let's go to our last point. And this is again in the book of Job. Life is complicated, lies are countless, and little, we find in our world today, little is communicated. You know, God said to Job, he said, brace yourself, because much was said in the hearing of his friends, but he's telling him little was communicated. Go again to chapter 38, verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, said, who is this who darkens my counsel? Who is that? You want to take a guess? Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, those friends of his. He says, they were darkening my counsel, he says, with words without knowledge. They were talking off the top of their head. They didn't know what they were talking about. They had no real knowledge, God says to Job. And so God says to Job, brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Going on down to chapter 40. Chapter 40 and verse 1. The Lord said to Job, he said, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, and he said, I am unworthy. That's a good thing to say to God. I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? And what does Job say? I can just visualize this. He says, I put my hand over my mouth. That's hard for some of us to do today, isn't it? I put my hand over my, I come to the end, I have no more questions, I have no more statements, I've listened to my friends. God says, now, Job says, now I'm listening to you, God, and I am speechless. I have nothing left to say. And then over to chapter 42, this is the last chapter, Job says to God, he says, I know, now this is Job saying this to God, he says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask me, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Oh, he could have said, those are my friends. You ask me that. He says, surely I spoke of things. Now, see, he didn't just blame it on his friends. He's even saying, listen, even me, myself, he says, I have spoken things that I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Verse 4, Job says to God, you finally said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you. That's what Job said to God. And he says, you shall answer me. And then Job says, my ears had heard of you, he says, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself, repent, and repent in dust and ashes. And so while the world keeps on talking, and it's like, you know, you ever seen the Charlie Brown cartoons? They always had that teacher at the bottom, wah, 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 right? That's what the world sounds like. Wah, 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 wah. While the world is talking, nothing's really being said. If you want to listen to anything meaningful, crack this book open. Read what God says. It'll simplify things, and it'll also cut out all the clutter and all the noise that's going on in the world. Our job is to listen to God and to get with His program. Our job, as Job said, is to see Him, and when we see Him, what will you do? When you truly see Him, you'll be on your knees. You'll be repenting. You'll be saying, God, I put my trust in You because there's nothing left in this world to trust in. I trust in You alone. We need to get face to face with God by studying His Word and praying to Him often. And then we may not find all of the answers, because all the answers in life, I hate to tell you, are not in this book. But if you have a Bible question, you will get a Bible answer from God. If you want to know how to be saved, you can look to God's Word. You will know that God tells us that we have to believe in Jesus, that He's God's Son. We have to believe that He died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again. That's the gospel. We believe in Jesus, we believe in the gospel, and then the Bible tells us that we, in Acts 2:38, we must repent of our sins, and then we must be buried with Christ in baptism to wash those sins away, and then to receive the Holy Spirit, the seal of our salvation. So it's very simple about how to be saved. If we want to find out what God says about the church, again, we read the Bible. You know, a lot of people want to study the church, and they go out and buy all these commentaries and books that people write about. No, just read the book of Acts. It's a church history. It'll tell you all about the church and how people got saved. If you want to find out how to worship God, read the letters that Paul wrote to these churches about how to worship, how to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, how to pray to God, how to take the communion, the Lord's Supper. You can learn how to worship. All these things are in the Bible. It's all right here. And so while life is happening all around you, brace yourself. Because life is complicated. Lies are countless, and little is communicated. Because that's true, then, what you need to do is listen to God. Listen to God, and like Job, let God ask you some questions. Let Him be a bit of a mystery to you. But then when He does tell you something, and it's true, grab onto that. Cling to that. Stick to that. And then, like Job, hey, listen, if you're really taking God's word seriously, get ready to make some changes in your life. Job said, repent. He said, I repent of my foolishness. And sometimes we need to do that as well. Many times we do. Job chapter 42, verse 5. Job said, I've heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you, and therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. As we close this morning, does God have your attention? I'm not asking you to listen to maybe what was a subpar sermon today. I'm asking you to listen to God's Word. And I'm asking you to see Him today. To see Him, to cut out all the confusion, and to focus on Him, and worship Him, and repent and turn your life over to Him. Does God have your attention today? To brace yourself, you must come to Jesus Christ, first of all, for salvation. And when you've done that, when you've turned your life over to the Lord, and you need to turn it over to Him because He can do more with it than you can, when you do that, then your life will be so much better. Your life will be less complicated. You'll be able to stick to truths and not have to worry about all the lies that are out there. And then ultimately, you'll be able to worship Him as Job did. We're going to ask you to come forward to the invitation. If you're not a child of God, come to Jesus today. Receive His gift of salvation as we stand to sing our invitation song.